to this chapter, and I can remember a way back some time ago, maybe I told you before, but I read of a poor Scottish weaver who had to conduct the service one Sunday as the minister didn't turn up. And he got up and he quoted just three texts. 1 John 1 and verse 7 that we read together. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And he simply said, that's my sins away. And then he read Luke 12, 6 and 7. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And then he simply said, that's my cares away. And in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 17 he read, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he simply said, that's myself away, and sat down again. What a short message, and yet how true that those verses of Scripture are. Simple words of God to cover all of his life's experience. But I want us to look at four alls in the Bible and to encourage our hearts in this evil age in which we live. No one knows what lies ahead. The world is moving so fast and at such a pace at the present time that we don't know exactly what's going to be up ahead. But we thank God that we have God's precious word. And for each one of us this morning that is saved by God's grace, we have that tremendous assurance. And first of all, that verse that we read in 1 John 1, 7, all my sins gone. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not some sins, but all sin. Nothing in life is so important as the forgiveness of our sin. Sin that we are born with, have committed daily, builds up a great account before God. Sin keeps us from God. Sin will destroy our life in this world. Sin will keep us out of heaven. We only have to watch our news programs to realize the devastation of sin in the world today. Only when the Holy Spirit reveals to us the enormity of our sin do we seek to get rid of it. We don't realize sometimes how sinful we are from the day that we're born until the day that the Holy Spirit reveals our sinfulness to ourselves, that we need forgiveness for sins past, present, and future. From all the sins in the past, sins of omission and sins of commission, sins in the secret chamber of your own heart, or seen and known by the world, sins before conversion, since that time of conversion, sins against God and sins against man, from them all you are clean. Since an honest acknowledgement of what you are and what you have done, you have brought them to the open fountain of the Redeemer's blood. And when we all have our sins forgiven, all that have trusted Christ as their Savior have all their sins dealt with, past, present, and future, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Let us rejoice this morning in the forgiveness of sin. If you're in the service and you have been saved by God's grace, then you can truly thank God from the very depths of your heart. And you can truly say that all of your sins are gone. Let us rejoice in the forgiveness of sins. Thank God for salvation. But if you're not saved this morning, then it is time that you realize that you need to be cleansed from your sin. Because if you die in your sin, you're going to end up in a lost sinner's hell. But thank God for each one in the service this morning that can look back to that time in their life when the Spirit of the Lord convicted you of your sin, you realized your enormity of your sin, you realized that there was only one answer to your sin, and that was the Lord Jesus who died for you upon the cross of Calvary. And you came and put your trust and faith in Him. And that is tremendous to have that. And I trust that you thank God every day when you get up, when you waken, that as you waken in the morning, you can say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free." But then secondly, all my needs met. In Philippians 4 and the verse 19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Not all our greed, but our need. God chooses to give his children what will do them good in this life. Some have prospered in job or their own business so that they can support the work of God and help others in need. Yet in some cases, he withholds blessing to teach us to depend fully on him for even our daily bread. Elijah, you can remember, was in trouble. He was scared of a woman. Now, I don't know how many men in the congregation this morning are scared of a woman. But Elijah, he had ran. And in 1 Kings 17, 6 and 7, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land." God's supply of water appeared to have gone. But in the next verse 9, or the verse 9 of 1 Kings 17, "Arise, get thee up to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And did that not prove to Elijah, "My God shall supply all your needs"? This goes far beyond temporal blessings. It opens up to us a wide treasury of divine grace, the mercy of God, the protection of God from the devil, who is the enemy of the soul of believers. Maybe today that you have a great need in your life. No one knows about it. But remember, God is at hand to meet your need. He met the martyrs' needs in days gone past, and still even today, in these foreign lands, those that have their life taken for the gospel. But if you have a great need, the Lord is with you to meet that need. And 1 Peter 5 and 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." We have the devil who is seeking to destroy our Christian life and destroy our witness for the Lord. And in some cases, he's doing a good job at it. In Psalm 34 and verse 10, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." And you know, it's tremendous to know that as God's children, we will not lack any good thing. In Psalm 84 and the verse 11, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And you know, that is tremendous. And in Romans 8 and the verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But my God shall supply all your need." And we that are saved by God's grace can rest assured, even in the midst of the world that we're living in today, that is getting further and further away by the hour from the laws of God, and the disasters that are happening, and the murders that are taking place Every day, perhaps on the news, there's somebody else has been murdered. But we thank God that as the children of the Lord, He has promised to be with us and to supply our need in all the times of trouble that we find ourselves in. All my sins gone. All my needs met. And you know, that is something tremendous. And then in Romans 8 and 28, we quoted it earlier, all things for my good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you know, that is tremendous. All things working together for good to them that love God. Many things in life we don't understand. The heartache, the trials, the problems that we all face day by day. Sickness, death, family going astray. Some families' troubles seems to follow them, one problem after another. Suicide, even amongst God's people, is happening too often. And the question arises, why? Now, I cannot answer that, nor can you. We must leave what we don't understand with the Lord. And one day, whenever we get to heaven and get the perfect knowledge and be able to look back, we will see that everything was for our good and for the glory of the Lord. And the providence of God, He allows all things to happen. And you know, it's not easy for us when it comes to that point in our own life when we have problems. The news today is full of talk of those who take their own life. Young people in despair, cast down. And you know, sometimes it has got to be that as perhaps the people that is around them, and they look at them and say, oh, there's something wrong with you. Instead of realizing that man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And it comes from the sin that was created in the Garden of Eden. We do know the devil steps in when people are at their lowest. And tempts them to break God's law by assuring them they are better off dead for the sake of their family. The devil says, God didn't mean it. Forget God. You'll be better off. But the Bible also says, thou shalt not kill. Remember the Lord Jesus after 40 days in the wilderness. At his weakest point, the devil steps in to try to make him sin. And let us pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we will be able to stand in the day of temptation. 2021 is more than halfway through. And we do not know what's going to happen in the remainder of this year and into next year, even in this land of our own. The laws that they want to bring in to do away with the laws of God's Word, the Bible. Abortion and so on, we all know what it is, and we fear because we realize that when God's law is broken, the judgment of God is upon the people. And I believe the COVID is the judgment of God upon the world because the world has turned its back upon the Word of God and it's against the commandments of God. God allows all things to come to pass. He is the sovereign God of all the earth. A lot of problems we bring on ourselves by our greed, pride in ourselves, or sin in our life. Debt through overspending. I've maybe told you before, it was when they brought in the only taking cards on Homebase. A young man was on the till and he says, you know, we don't take cash now, you have to use a card. Well, I said, that's a big problem for a lot of people because they spend too much on the card. Well, he says, that's right, because he says, I run up a bill of, I think it was about 400 and something pound. And he says, I couldn't pay it, and my dad had to pay it. And he told me that if I ever done it again, he would kill me. And there's a grid around today. Let us in every circumstance of life not try to find answers when God alone knows the why. I remember an elder, one of our churches, told me he was in hospital and he was in severe pain. And it was only when he was in, they couldn't find out what was wrong with him. And he was lying, he said, on the hospital bed, and he was looking up, and he said, it suddenly came upon him. It was the Holy Spirit, of course. A sin that he had been committing that he hadn't been willing to give up. And he said, there on that hospital bed, I cried unto God to cleanse me afresh and help me to give up the sin. He didn't tell me what the sin was. And he said, the next morning the pain was gone and it never had come back. You see, sometimes the Lord uses circumstances. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody has pain. That's because of sin, because pain is something that's normal to the human being and the sickness that comes from the fall. But in some cases, the Lord does allow it to bring us to himself. One day when we get to heaven, as we said earlier, we will understand it all. By and by, the various afflictions, troubles and distresses that come to the people of God, we may judge them to be evils, but they are blessings in disguise. If we could only interpret them aright, we discover in each of them a token of heavenly love. All things, not some things, are for our good. And let us thank God through the bad times as well as the good times. We don't always agree, of course, with God's timing. From our human point of view and our human mind that we have, death of a young person at an early age, ill health of a believer, and yet we accept that God is in control and he will give grace to help each one to live on in their life. And you know, it is always something when you look back, there was two men. When I was younger, Christian, and help got great help from, was our brother Brian Ferguson and our brother Wesley Wiley. And those two men were two godly men. And of course, you know that Brian took cancer and the Lord took him home. Wesley Wiley was out helping a friend with cattle. And in those days, you got up on the back of a car, there was wings on the car in those days, and he happened to fall off it and hit his head and die. And you know, for many, many times, I often wonder why the Lord took away two men who had a tremendous testimony and a tremendous help to young Christians. And yet, when we get to heaven, and when we look back down over with the new insight that we will have, we will see it was for their benefit and for God's glory. Something we cannot understand at all, even at this particular time. All my sins gone. Have you had all your sins gone? Are you saved this morning? Have you all your needs met? Can you look back over the years of your Christian life and see how God stepped in even in times of trouble and helped you through? All things for your good. Tremendous, wasn't it? And then there's all my cares for Jesus. And 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a verse for today. This world is a very complicated place to live in, as we have already said and seen. For the saved of the Lord, it is no different from the rest of society. In fact, even worse, for the world hates God and hates his laws. And those of us who stand firm for what the Bible teaches is going to get tremendous pressure. And Job 5:7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And that is something that is right across everybody in society is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. In John 15 and verse 18, if the world hit you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And you know, that is something we have to be very aware of in these days. Because God, in eternity past, before this world ever came into being, chose us unto salvation, chose the means of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior and our Lord, and chose whenever we came into this world and lived in this world, that the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sins and drew us out of sin's darkness into God's family and saved us by his grace. And because he has chosen us out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The only way to obtain relief under the cares that often are our lot in life is to cast them all on God. And you know, that seems very simple, doesn't it? Cast all your cares upon him. But it's not so easy in reality, because we're human. But whenever the Bible says, cast all your cares upon him, that's what we should do. The only way to obtain relief under the cares that often are our lot in life is to cast them all on God. We must bring them to our Heavenly Father, and we must leave them there with him. We must tell them in the ear of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus. And you know, that is something that we need to realize and to be able to do. When the cares of life seem to be never ending, and you feel you are at wit's end corner, I have often said to people around the doors over the years, go to your bedroom, or if you're on a farm, go out onto the fields, as some of them did in years gone past, and tell the Lord how you feel. Alone. And he understands, he will understand how you feel and will never tell anyone. So you can confide on him completely. And you can have confidence enough in him to know that he will not neglect that which you commit to him. Because he already knows before you come what you need. Because he is the eternal God of heaven. He's the sovereign God, and he knows everything about everybody. And you know, that's something that's hard for us to understand. We forget, but God never forgets. And we can take all our problems and cast them on him. One of the big problems today is people not having someone to share a problem with, as they did perhaps in years gone past. Because now, with iPhones and iPads and computers and everything else, nobody has time to talk to anybody else like what they did in years gone past. Past times, there used to be killies, and some of the older people would know what a killie was. When the neighbours gathered in the house, and they would have sat around the range or the open fire, and they would have talked over the things of life and their problems of life, and discussed it, and it was a help to them. But now, of course, people are scared to talk to anybody, because it would go on the Belfast Telegraph the next morning. Before, they would be out of your house or out of your company. They would be nearly ringing somebody up and saying, do you know what such and such a one was just told me? Do you know what their problem is? And you know, whenever we as God's children, somebody comes to us, we need to realize that we do not discuss what they have talked to us about, if it's a problem that they have in their life, but that we can pray for them and help them through prayer, and through being with them and listening to them. Sometimes it only takes someone to listen. I remember a farmer telling me that he was going along the road on the tractor one day, and he met a neighbour that wasn't far away from him coming the other direction, and as they would have done, the two tractors stopped side by side and they started to talk. And this man that he met, his son had died just some months before it. And when they were stopped and talking to him, he said to him, "You know," he says, "I'm sure you're missing," naming the son. And he said, he burst out crying. He said, "You're the first man from the funeral that has mentioned his name to me." And you know, sometimes we need to realize that we need to be there as God's children to listen and to be a help to those of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once for all, cast upon Him, because He thinks on us. And you know, we have to realize that our God, even though He created this world by the word of His power, that this God that we worship is the eternal God that knows everything about everybody, as we've already said, thinks upon us, hears every sigh and groan, marks every tear, and knows every sorrow that weighs upon the mind, that said we should leave them with the Lord. That is the hard thing to do, as we have said. It doesn't mean you forget all about your problems, but that you have the Lord to help you to cope and guide you through the cares of everyday living. He will help you to cope. Sometimes when we pray, God takes the problem away. Other times, He doesn't take it away. We have to live with it, and He helps us to cope with it day by day. And Psalm 46 in the verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." And Psalm 48 in the verse 14, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Let us, as the cleansed of the Lord, depend upon the word of God. Take verses like we have looked at and put our trust in God, because He has given them to us. He has left the Bible for the purpose that we would know. We can't see God. We know nothing about God except what we have in the Bible, God's precious word. And so when we read it and meditate upon it and get help from it, then we need to realize that it is God's word to our hearts day by day. You say, "I have tried, and it's not easy." And you know, that's fact. There's no good in trying to. Sometimes you get Christians, and or even born-again believers, and when they talk to somebody and somebody dies belonging to them or something happens to them, they nearly think that the other person, there's something wrong with them, because they can't cope with it. But we're human, and we do have our feelings. But in the midst of our feelings, we have the Lord to look after us. In Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And you know, that is something tremendous, that we can do all things through Christ. And that is the one, the only one that can help us, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a sinner saved by grace, we are faced with a life of service for the Lord Jesus. And it's not an easy task. And sometimes we feel a failure and not able to deal with all that God wants us to do as we live for Him. And you know, many's a time around the door I've met people and they've said, "Well, you know, I'm saved. I trusted the Lord a way back and told me when they got saved." But they would tell you, "You know, there's sometimes when I do something wrong, I wonder if I'm saved or not. I wonder if when I ask, did I ask often enough? And I said, you know, that one of the best signs that someone is saved is that when they sin, their conscience bothers them, and they come and ask the Lord to forgive them and to cleanse them afresh and to fill them afresh with His Holy Spirit. And you know, that's what we need in these days, a moving of God the Holy Spirit. As we look out over even this land of ours, and we see the situation even in our own churches, the deadness. Now, we still have sound preaching. Thank God for that. But right across the land, there is no moving of God the Holy Spirit. I happened to lift a book, an old book that Dr. Paisley had wrote on the 1859 revival, and read the first two chapters of it just in passing. And you know, it brought tears to my eyes. Because in that those chapters, he was quoting people, the two that started the prayer meeting in the old schoolhouse, and so on, until at the end of the 1858, there was 50 men. Now, they didn't allow women in to the prayer meetings. They had prayer meetings of their own. And the reason that they didn't have a woman in was there was so much opposition to it, that they felt that if they had woman in, that they would be blamed maybe for having a desire for woman. But they had these prayer meetings, and God moved in their family circles. And God, the Holy Ghost, moved in conviction of sin. That their families came under conviction of sin. And you know what I'm talking about. You've read perhaps of the revival in days gone past, when the Spirit of the living God moved in conviction of sin. And we need that again. In W.P. Nicholson's day, and whenever he preached, I heard him once actually on Killadees, and I wasn't very old at the time, and he was an old man on the pulpit. I don't remember very much about what he said or what he was, but I can remember sitting there with my father and mother listening to him at that particular time. And then we had the Faith Mission and the IEB, and in those early days when missions were held, it was tremendous. I had a mission beside a house where we had put up a hall, a portable hall, and the man that was at the owned the farm, and he said that I think his mother was in the Faith Mission actually at a time, and they had a mission years when he was small, and he said the amount of bicycles that was on the hedges for a long road up the road as the hall was packed night after night. And you know, in those early days, the Spirit of the Lord was moving and saving. In the early days of our own church, on a Sunday night, you would have had the place packed, and locals would have been in under the sound of the gospel. And men and women were convicted of their sin, and they were saved. And now, you could hardly get your own out on a Sunday night, never mind get out the outsiders. They have no interest in coming in under the sound of the gospel. And we need to be very careful in these days that we pray that God will send us a moving of God the Holy Spirit again. Now, I don't believe that there's going to be a worldwide revival before the Lord returns. Things are going to get worse and worse, as he told them in Matthew 24. And when he told them the signs that were going to come for the end time, and the setting up of the Antichrist and so on before he came. And then he said, when you see the gospel of the kingdom preached all over the world, look for these signs. And you know, in these past year 18 months, maybe nearly 2 years, the gospel is preached all over the world, day after day, and particularly on the Sabbath day, through the internet. And you know, it is amazing that anywhere in the world, perhaps today, you can get the gospel. Our sister Joanne Greer was on Zoom one night, through to our prayer meeting on the last lockdown. And she said that they didn't know what was going to happen to the people who were coming to the church from the outback. what they would do when the church was closed. And then she said they discovered most of them had iPhones. And they hadn't even electric to charge the iPhones. They had to take it to a shop to get it charged. But you know, when we see these things coming, we need to realize that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And as a saved sinner by grace, we are faced with a life of service for the Lord. Not an easy task, and sometimes we feel a failure. Yet what a promise Paul, who had adversity nearly all his life, could simply say, I can do all things through Christ. Not by himself, but through Christ. Let us day by day live. Let us work. Let us labor for the Lord, not on our own strength, but through Christ. Let us live close to the Lord in prayer and study of his word. The Lord Jesus, our shepherd, will guide us day by day if we cast all our cares on him. And if you're not saved, you need to come to the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, call upon Jesus to save you, and prepare for heaven before you die. And it's a sad thing that there are so many people today, so many out in this world of ours, and they don't realize that the moment that they die, they're going to a lost sinner's hell. And they can't know why, because they're dead in trespasses and sins. And we need the Holy Spirit to move and awaken them to their sinfulness and draw them savingly to Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. Let's bow together just in a word of prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for all that thou dost do for those of us that are saved. All our sins gone. That you help us every day to cast our care upon thee. And oh God, help us day by day to thank thee for all that you do for us. And for those that are not saved, we pray that the Spirit of the Lord will move again in power and bring them savingly to the foot of the old rugged cross. Take us to our homes in safety and bring us back for the evening service. In Jesus' precious name.